You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's right. Earlier I spoke with Scott Figginshow of Community Housing Aotearoa, and I started by asking him, what is community housing and how does it work alongside government and private housing?
Community housing providers have been working for many years. We just celebrated in our sector the 30-year anniversary of Cork Community Housing in Auckland. And look, they've been working as a not-for-profit agency, both to buy, develop, own, and operate rental accommodation for folks for whom Housing New Zealand or private rentals simply haven't worked. And it's the combination of an affordable rent plus access to services that really makes that difference.
On Tuesday, a group of industry leaders met in Wellington with Community Housing Aotearoa to discuss how to best work with the new government. What sort of things came out of that meeting?
Sure. Well, so as the national peak body for the community housing sector, one of the things we do is try to work directly with our provider members who are working at the coalface and working with folks in need and really understand where some of the pinch points are and some of the constraints that we've had and how we might relieve those. And one of the things we're really looking forward to in collaborating with the new a new government, and that's both with Phil Twyford, our new Minister for Housing and Urban Development, as well as Carmel Cipollone, who's the Minister for Social Development, is that we're in the middle of a housing reform program. And we think we need to continue on with a lot of reforms. It's still going to take more time. So part of those reforms and part of the great work that I think has been signaled is that we've got a housing affordability problem across New Zealand, not just in Auckland. And so there have been a lot of well-researched and well-delivered programs for rent-to-buy, shared ownership, and access to affordable equity that not-for-profit providers have been delivering now for decades. And growing those to scale is something that can happen more quickly by partnering with the community housing sector providers rather than trying to invent them as new government programs.
The new government's promise to build 1,000 social homes and 10,000 affordable homes a year, you guys
Correct.
Have called a good start. Is this saying that it's just a bit of a splash in the bucket, or is this actually going to achieve some real change?
Getting all the parts aligned so we could deliver 1,000 social homes and 10,000 affordable homes every year consistently for the next decade is absolutely the direction of travel. But that requires a pipeline approach. What that means is that, and we've called on the new government to announce in its first budget, that there is actually 10 years of funding for both of the social and the affordable that's in place. Because what happens when property is occurring is there'll be folks doing private sector developments that community housing providers can work in with and pick up 10, maybe 15% of units in those new developments. But to do that, we need to be able to make the forward commitment and be the early purchaser for something that will be next year, 2 years, 3 years out. And those units might still be a further 2 or 3 years beyond that before they're ready for delivery. So we've really got to get a machine going that has got some real forward planning and pipeline to it. We do think that 1,000 social homes and getting, that's got to be net new production each year, is again a great start. We think ultimately that we will need 2,500 additional social homes each year for at least the next decade if we're truly going to catch up with the growing tidal wave of demand that's occurring because of our demographic shifts that are occurring in New Zealand. So we think we need to do more than the 1,000 social, but let's get all the pieces working so we're consistently producing that right from the get-go.
I wanted to ask about the three-year period when Community Housing Aotearoa was producing more houses annually than New Zealand social housing. You said it was a period of high capital investment. What ended this sort of period and what has meant that you guys aren't producing at that rate that you once were?
So when we had the Housing Innovation Fund, which became the Social Housing Unit Fund, that was a direct capital investment that would provide up to 50% in capital for the cost of building a new social or affordable home. And when that program was at its peak, which was in 2013, 2014, 2015, it was about $140 million of capital. It was available over a three-year period, and the community housing sector picked up 890 new units that it was able to develop with that capital investment. Now, what when that fund was stopped, that's when we switched to then at first only having the income-related rent subsidy available to community housing providers. Now, this is the point we were really trying to make there, is that there's been a history of program comes in, it does what it does, then it stops. The new program isn't yet in place, and there's a gap. And that turns off any of the pipeline capacity and capability that the prior program had built up. So what we're very clearly signaling to the new government, and we understand that it is within what they're planning to look at, is that capital works. Those programs that invested direct capital for new housing builds generate new units, and often that's what it's going to take to continue to build homes, and we think that that combination of capital, of rent subsidy, and of services funding, those things need to be available consistently, and they need to be able to work together as a package.
What is going to be the biggest challenge for you guys connecting with the new government and getting this direct capital investment over the next few years? There's been indications from the government that they're keen to push forward on these matters, but do you see it being a real possibility with the three-way split we have in the ruling government?
I think one of the biggest challenge is going to be to see that working with the community housing sector and our not-for-profit housing providers and their track records of strong delivery, it should happen in parallel with delivery through Housing New Zealand. We're not saying that do one or the other. We're saying do both. And there will be a tendency to try to do everything only through government ministries. And we're saying when we look around the world at international best practice, most of the systems that have ramped up capacity and capability have done that through direct investment in the not-for-profit community housing sectors, and we think there's a real strong platform to, again, do that, as well as make sure that Housing New Zealand is resourced on an equal basis so that it can also regenerate and bring its stock up to the quality levels that it needs to.
So looking forward to the future, how are we best going to ensure that these houses are still active and operational in 20, 30 years? What's going to be the key there? Do we need to be combining our climate change goals and incentives with our housing and social policy?
Look, one of the other key drivers for the new government is around climate change. And as you and everyone knows, and I actually always worry about kind of students' perceptions of the old, cold, and moldy flats that folks are often living in. What if we combined a few of these things and we used our climate change targets and our moving towards a zero carbon economy, that every new home we were building, whether it was a community house, a Housing New Zealand property, a private sector one, was not just warm and dry, but was actually exceeding any of the Green Star level 9, level 10 requirements, for Homestar, that would see that property be a net zero consumer of energy. That's the way we would be actually putting a strong future focus on the kinds of quality housing we would deliver, and let's lead the world in that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.